You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
We are starting a brand new series. Again, we're going to talk about parables. It's stories. How many of you here, you like stories? Okay, you love stories. How many of you here, you want to... favorite nyo ho, gumawa ng storya. Okay. Mas magandang tanong yan. Okay. You like stories. I remembered one of my favorite movies that was shown 2008. The title of this movie was Slumdog Millionaire. How many of you have watched this movie? Okay, Slumdog Millionaire. And this is a two-hour movie. Okay, sabi nila we have very short attention span. But this is a two-hour movie, yet so many people watch this movie. It's a low-budgeted film. They spent only $15 million to make this film compared to like Titanic where they spent $280 million to make the movie. But it won 8 Academy Awards, 4 Golden Globes Award, 5 Critics' Choice Awards, and earned almost $400 million. Wow. From $15 million then to $400 million. Movies with good storylines wins all the time. And I also remember films with, you know, this big production, high visual effects, yet because the storyline was so bad, you know, it did not really top the chart. Now, movies are with good storylines wins all the time. And I think 2008, the counterpart of that movie, kasabayan niya, no? Sobrang low-budgeted din, pero ang laki ng kinita, One More Chance by John Lloyd and Bea. Okay, how many of you will be honest here, you watch this movie? Raise your hand. You're in the house of God. Okay, I see many men raising their hands. So, sobrang liit lang ng budget, no? I think 10,000 pesos. But it earned 152 million pesos. So many people went to watch this movie. Word of mouth, they said, it's so good. It's the story. It's not the special effects. It's not that. It's the story. Now, we not only that we like stories, but stories are powerful. I'm reading this book right now. The title of the book is Storyteller's Secret. It's about this from the Talk Like TED series. And this is a whole book written to show how important, but how powerful stories are in almost everything that we do. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're an educator, whether you're a pastor, a parent, they showed how stories are not only important, but powerful, learning how to communicate using stories. I want to quote an excerpt from the book. It says, "Storytelling is the art of framing an idea as a narrative to inform, illuminate, and inspire." There's something about stories that helps us understand complex concepts and ideas. But in a form of story, it helps us understand what it means. Not only that, it has the ability to also resonate something in our emotion and in our heart where it moves us into action. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus, every time he would explain biblical truths, would use stories common to the people of his time. He would use fishing stories, farming stories, and all of these things to convey spiritual truths. So, and that's what we want to accomplish in this series. As we go through these stories, really what we want to happen is that we will have greater appreciation and we will have greater understanding of the stories that Jesus told to explain to us kingdom principles. And I hope that this will move us into action and it will help us grow in our character and grow in our biblical worldview. And today we're going to start with probably one of the most popular stories that Jesus told. And that this is the parable of the sower. And I'm trusting that as we go through this story, that God would show us something that is fresh to us and something that would help us also have an awareness of what God is doing in and through our lives. So can I invite you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we pray and commit this time to God. Lord, we pray for today. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. So Lord, we pray that as your word is preached, we pray that our hearts and our soul will be flooded with your light. I pray we would see you in a greater way, and I pray it would also make us aware of what you're doing in and through our lives. So Lord, we pray, Lord, that your word will not return to you void, but will accomplish the very purpose why you are sending this word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. And I'm a little scared because normally when I would prepare the message, I would have 2 pages of notes. And that would be it, 10 minutes each. 20 minutes, so that if I happen to go beyond that, still, it's short. Today I have 4 pages of notes. There's just so many things I want to say, so, but we'll see how it goes, and we'll see if we'll just stop in the middle. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, it says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they have no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And of course, I'm going to skip some verses because after that, the disciples asked Jesus, "What do you mean about this story?" And they're a little slow like us today. How many of you here sometimes you feel slow? Pag may binasa ka, parang, wow, ano daw? Parang, ang ganda pakinggan, pero I don't know exactly, no. So, Jesus made it even simpler for them. In verse 18, it says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, and in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, I used to think that this parable was about 4 different types of people. That when you preach the gospel, some will have hard hearts where they will not respond no matter what you say. No matter what kind of explanation you give, they will just reject the gospel. I thought that sometimes you would preach, some would respond right away, but when persecution comes, they will stop and not finish the race. Some would receive the word, but because they're so worldly and so consumed with things that's happening around the world, they will forget the commitment they made before the Lord. And some would follow God, and they would receive the word, and they would follow God for the rest of their life. So I thought this is talking about 4 different kinds of people, but then eventually I realized this is not talking about 4 types of people. It's actually describing 4 conditions of all of our hearts at any given time. It's a condition of our heart. So it's possible, I realize, that you can be good soil today and tomorrow your heart can be a heart full of thorns. The worries of life. There's so many things you're concerned about that it's choking the word you receive from the Sunday service that you attended. So it's possible that in 1 week, you can be the hard soil. You can have the shallow heart. You can have the heart full of thorns. And you can be a heart with it, which is a good soil. You know, there's no problem with the word. There's no problem with the sower. There's no problem with the seed. The difference is the soil where it landed. And I think about the verse in the Bible that says the word of God is living and active. It's indestructible. There's no problem with the word of God. And when God scatters the seed, it's loaded with power and life. I don't want just to go to church week after week for the sake of attending. I want something to grow. I want something to change. I want to experience breakthrough in my walk with God. How many of you are with me? How many of you, that's your heart also today? I don't want just to go to church every week out of religious duty. I want to know God better. I want to serve the purposes of God. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to experience this breakthrough in my life. And guess what? The word is able to do that. The word is able to change us, able to renew our mind, and able to stir up something in our hearts that would explode and change us forever. So what we need to be concerned about is the condition of our heart. It's possible that a word like this can be preached and some people will go home blessed and they got something that will change them. And some people would go home and as if nothing happened. Wala nangyari. You know, there's nothing wrong with the seed. We have to be concerned about the condition of our heart. And quickly, I want to go through these four conditions of the heart. And as we go through this heart condition, I want us to open our heart to God and be sensitive to Him and allow Him to do His work. First one is what we call hard heart. Hard. In verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, hard. You know, first time I read that, the question I have is, how about the people who are not very good in comprehension? How about people who are unschooled, hindi ho nakapag-aral? Or how about the children? Should they wait till they reach high school or college before they can understand God's word? Because it says, if they don't understand the word. But as we read the Bible, we will discover that it's not about comprehension. It's not our ability per se to comprehend based on experience. It's not. The word of God can be understood. In fact, children can understand God's word. You know, one time my daughter, 6 years old, showed me her journal entry. Cheska, my daughter is 6 years old. And after her devotion, her time in the word and prayer, she said, Daddy, look at my journal entry. This is what God spoke to me this morning. You need to love God as well as you love your BFF. But you must love God more than you love your BFF. And love God as your Lord and Savior, and you shall bow down to God. Praise God. Pray a lot. How many of you know young children can hear God, can understand God's word? So it's not a matter of whether, it's not about your educational background. No, it's not. The issue is not comprehension. I like the Message Bible translation of verse 19. It says, when anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in. So it's not that they did not understand. They just refuse to take in the word of God. And it makes their heart hard. I can think of four reasons why sometimes people don't take in the word of God, resulting to God's word being snatched away by the enemy. First one is pride. You know, we think we are wiser than God. Our ways are better than Him. And we might not say that verbally or directly to God, but our actions and decisions, that's what we declare every time we reject God's word. Every time we say, I'm not sure, no, maybe that works for you, but maybe not for me. Or maybe I've reached this far without God. I've established this business. We became rich without me going to church. I know what I'm doing. Pride. Next one is fear. We refuse to take in God's word when we are not willing to trust Him completely. Parang pag narinig natin yung word, okay, maganda siyang pakinggan. Nakaka-inspire naman yung word ni God. I'm not just sure if that will happen in real life. So we're refusing to take it in. Next one is bitterness. When there's offense or hurts or unforgiveness, it stops us from embracing and receiving God's word in our lives, making God's word unfruitful. When we hear God's word, when we say, forgive as the Lord God has forgiven you, but we're full of hurt. And so we refuse. It's not that it's not hard to understand, but we're just refusing to take it in because we're so wounded, causing the enemy to snatch away that revelation from God. And last thing is distraction. You know, there's an interesting article. One of the meanings of the word distraction comes from a French term related to a cruel form of torture practiced in the Middle Ages. And I want to show you a picture of that. There's this form of torture in the Middle Ages where they would put each limb of a person to four different horses that would run in four different directions. So, and they call that distraction, death by distraction. They're pulled in different direction. And it's amazing because even today, a lot of God's word dies because of distraction. Death by distraction. We're so distracted. We're so preoccupied. We're so connected to our devices sometimes that we can spend hours in Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and we're saying we don't have time to study God's word. 1.5 hours every Sunday is too long for us sometimes. Minsan parang 1:20 na pastora. Or no, 6:20 na pastora. Sometimes we can't wait for the amen. We have to rush going out of the hall. Because we're so busy. We're so occupied with a lot of things. We're so distracted that we don't have the time to pause and actually take the time to reflect on what we receive from God. So pagkarinig natin ng word, game na, next schedule, next thing. And then we forget about what we heard. It's snatches away. I wonder how many of God's word failed to bear fruit in our lives because we're busy thinking about our Facebook post. Parang, tama ba to? Has eaten? Could eaten. 2 hours. Sayang naman. Lighting mali. Tapos post. No filter. Hashtag. Random post. Random pics. Sayang naman yung 2 hours. Sana we meditated the word of God. Hard heart. Next one. Shallow heart. Shallow heart. Verse 20 to 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, it says, I want to highlight there the word, immediately receives it with joy, but also immediately he falls away. So it's describing people who immediately they welcome the word of God with favor, but also they immediately fall away. And I've seen many people like that. Some of them were my batchmates when I was just starting with my journey with God. Nung bago pa lang kami nung college, sabay-sabay kaming na-save. Umiyak pa kami nung nag-altar call sa church. Pumunta kami, we came forward and sabi namin, God, thank you, God. We've attended almost all Bible studies, all church services and events. And then after several months, 6 months, 8 months, one by one, they fall away when persecution came. Persecution. Niloko sa school. Uy, alive. Wala na. Tapos na yung commitment. They immediately responded to God, but they also immediately fall away. It's amazing sometimes how little it takes for people to abandon their faith. It's amazing sometimes how little it takes for people not to go to church anymore. Traffic, eh. Parking, hirap mag-park. Umulan. Sometimes it takes little for people to fall away. You know, I had coffee this week with Mr. Willie Chua. He's one of our leaders in the 9 o'clock service. He works in this big company, but he also constantly travels from to different cities and nations to do what he loves to do. If he found favor in the eyes of his boss. So nag-work siya, may boss siya, pero binibigyan siya ng favor to have schedule spread out during the year where he can go to different places and nations to preach and teach God's word, especially in far places. Yung burden niya, he wants to go to churches where the church has limited resources, the pastors cannot attend conferences, wala silang pangbayad sa registration. Sometimes what he would do is he would go to this obscure location, magpapatraining siya, babayaran niya yung registration ng mga pastor, hotel accommodation, food, and then he would do 2 to 3 days training for them. That was his heart. And he was telling me about his trip to Nepal. He was teary-eyed when he was telling this to me. Some of them walk 17 hours just to be in the meeting. They've sat on the ground because there's no chairs, no aircon, no free food, but nobody complained about the room temperature. Nobody complained about the seating arrangement. Nobody complained about the schedule. All of them, they're just hungry for the word. They're just there. Parang ninanamnam talaga. Sabi, at may one time, sabi pa niya, we will have a 1 hour break, okay? And they beg him, can we make it 20 minutes break? And let's continue the word of God. Amazing, so different from here. Sometimes when I hear stories like that, it's so refreshing, but it's so convicting. Sometimes I realize how sheltered we are, how pampered we are, sometimes so entitled we are compared to what these people are going through. Diba? Minsan parang, grabe naman dito, yung aircon mahina. But it's so refreshing. I want you to know, and I'm not saying this to make us feel bad, but I'm saying this so that we will have a greater appreciation of what we have. Some Christians in other nations, they don't have the luxury of coming together in a place like this and enjoy what we have. For us, it's so familiar. It's so normal for us. I want you to know this is something that's not enjoyed by all Christians around the world. Shallow. No root. I want to talk to parents as well. Talking about no root. They say they fall away because there's no root. I've encountered students in U-Belt during board exam. Pag board exam, grabe po mag-worship yung mga bata doon. Parang habang papalapit ng papalapit, patindi ng patindi yung worship ng mga student. Talagang may kanya-kanyang dance step pa sila. Pag pinag-pray mo, Pastor, pa-pray sa board exam. Bawat sabihin kong word, Lord, I pray for your board exam. Amen! Amen! Grabe! Lord, when they review, amen! Bawat na lang word sabihin ko, ang tataas. Then after the board exam, some of them failed, and now they question their faith. Now they question the love and the goodness of God. Even His existence. May God ba talaga? No root. No root. So easy to fall away. When persecution comes, when trouble comes, when problems come, it's easy to fall away. No root. Shallow heart. Parents here, make sure. I want to encourage you. It's important that we make sure we don't only bring our children to church, but we make sure we bring them to Jesus. It's possible that we always bring our children to church. They attend church with us, but they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. No root. If they have no root, right after this service, or when they leave your house after college, they will immediately abandon their faith. Because there's no root. Shallow heart. Next one is thorny. Thorny heart. Verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, in other translation, the worries of this world. Worries of this world. Do you worry? How many of you here sometimes you worry about your children? Job, business, health. Some people worry about their marriage, finance, future. You know what Jesus said in His Word? Do not worry. Can you please turn to the person sitting next to you? Do not worry. Worrying is trying to control the uncontrollable. When we try to control what we cannot control, we worry. Who can control the future? Who can control the decision of their children? Who can control the finances that we have? You can have savings and investments today, but who knows what will happen tomorrow? Every time we try to control the uncontrollable, we worry. Jesus said, do not worry. It's not going to help you solve your problem. It's not going to change anything. It will only make you miserable. It will only wear you down. It will choke the word. The Bible says the reason sometimes the word is not bearing fruit, it's being choked. Parang, alam mo, hindi makahinga yung word. It's not because the word is the problem, but it's our heart. It's full of thorns. We're worrying all the time. So may sinasabi si Lord sa atin, may pinapagawa si Lord sa atin, but we can barely move. We're choked. Worry. You know, somebody said that worry is a down payment on a problem you may never even have. Worry is a down payment on a problem you may never even have. How many of you know that's a waste of your life? Paying for something you will never going to have or experience. It's wasting your day, it's wasting your month, it's wasting your year, it's wasting your time worrying about something you may never even experience or have. You're just imagining it. Worrying, it's making you feel sick. That's why sometimes it manifests physically. Acidity, migraine and all. We're not designed to worry. Worry is unnatural, it's unhealthy, it's not normal. Worry. Of course, there's plenty of things in this world to worry about. Some people are worried about our president, the statements he's making. Some people are worried about extrajudicial killings, and these things are important, but these are things we cannot control. If you don't have God in your life, you have all the reason to worry. But if you have God in your life, and if God is He who he claims to be, if God is who he claims to be, if he is our Father, if he is almighty, if he is all-knowing, all-powerful, if he really exists, then Jesus said, do not worry. How many of you believe God is all-powerful? God is almighty? God is all-knowing? How many of you believe God exists? God loves you. He cares for you. God promised never to leave you nor to forsake you. How many of you believe that? Jesus said, then why are you worrying? Do not worry. It's making the word unfruitful. Do you have a word to go to Georgia and be a missionary? God is saying, do not worry where you're going to get your support. God already promised He will be with you to the ends of the earth. Do you have a word from God to start a victory group? You're worrying about your English, what people will tell you. God said, I will give you the words to say and I will give you the power to witness. What are you worrying about? Do you have a word from God to break up with your boyfriend who's pressuring you to commit sex outside marriage? And you're worried, baka wala nang pumato sa akin, pastor, huling baraha ko na to. Man, if God can provide you salvation, if He can send this, His one and only Son and solve your greatest problem, how many of you know God can help you with your relationship problem? Is God, do you have a word from God to sow and be generous to someone even if your business is not doing well? Jesus said, do not worry. Not only that, deceitfulness of riches. How many of you here you want to become rich? Okay, Lord, you see their hands. Oh, biglang dumami. Lord, ako din. The late lang. But you know one thing? The money in itself is not bad. It's not wrong to be rich. I like what my friend Randall Chongson said. Money is not the most important thing in life. Agree? But it affects the most important things in our lives. Our marriage, our children, their education, their future, our ministry. So money is not bad. It's the love of money. It's being eager to become rich. It's believing the lie that it will make us happy, secure, and successful. It's when we allow money to become our master, our boss, and to dictate our priorities, our values, our choices, and our decisions, that's when we gave in to the lie of wealth that choked the word. Alam mo, sabi ni Lord, mag-tithes ka. Honor the Lord with your wealth. But you're choking. It's not bearing fruit because of the worries of life and because of the deceitfulness of wealth. We're willing to receive, but we're not willing to give. We have faith to believe that God will bless us, but we don't have the faith that God will use us to be a blessing to others. It's choke. The word is not bearing fruit. The word is not bearing fruit. You know, I posted this vlog last Wednesday. I'm trying. It's awkward. But you know, I don't have time to explain to you while I'm doing this. Hindi lang po dahil wala akong magawa sa buhay, no? That's where the future is. Most people spend their time looking at their phone in social media. If we want to reach the next generation, we have to be in social media. Anyway, I posted a blog and the title of this vlog is The Best Financial Advice. And basically what I share there is the best financial advice I received as a young person that became my guiding principle in financial decisions even up until today. And the advice to me was, every time you will make a money decision, the first question you need to ask is, what is God's will, not how much? Don't ask, is this expensive? Do I have the money? Before you even ask that question, you have to ask the question, what is God's will? Because if this is God's will, even if this is not in the budget, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust. There will be favor, there will be grace, there will be miracle, there will be wisdom. God will supply all my needs because God is the source. Amen. God is the source. I'm not going to allow my allowance and my budget and my bank account to tell me what I can't do and can do. My God will tell me what I can do. I'm not going to let money tell me what will be my priority, what will be our family values. No, my God will determine that for us. I'm not going to allow the Word of God to be choked. I want the Word of God to bear fruit in our family, in my life. God is the source. But when we allow the worries of life, when we allow the deceitfulness of wealth to crowd our heart and our mind, it choked the word. Last thing as I end, verse 23. Now, first condition is hard. Second, it's shallow. Third is thorny. And this one is the good soil. How many of you here, you want your heart to be a good soil to plant God's word? Every time God scatters the word, every Sunday, something changes in you. Something bear fruit. It can be felt by the people around you. You're not the same person than last year or 6 months ago when you started coming to this church. Something's turning. Something's clicking. Something's changing. You know why? Because the word is bearing fruit. Good soil. You know, it's amazing because it says it will produce 100-fold, 60, 30. I don't know of any seed that can produce 100-fold result or fruit. I don't think so. Pag nagtanim ka ng binhi or buto, pwedeng lumaki siya na puno, then maybe it will give you 100 mango fruit, apple fruit, I don't know, but 100-fold. Do you know what that means? I have this picture of a folded paper. It's just folded paper. It's just 2 or 3 folds. You know, if you fold a paper once, you have 2, right? 2 sides. If you fold it twice, you have 4 sides. So it's not just addition. It's not like 1 seed times 100. No, there is a effect. What do you call that? Exponential effect. Thank you, bro. It's not addition. It's not multiplication. It's exponential. The more you fold it, I don't know what 100-fold looks like. But you know what it's trying to tell us? It's supernatural. It's supernatural. What it means is that the fruit or the result that God will bring into our lives is something that is beyond what our effort or ability can produce. In fact, it's not something we can produce on our own. It's only God who can bring that change and breakthroughs in our lives. Only when we receive the word humbly and understand it, meaning we don't reject it, but we take it in and say, Lord, help me obey this word. Help me to be faithful with your word. Help me to hide this word in my heart. I will not allow the enemy to snatch it away from me. I will not run away from you. I'm not going to allow the worries of the life to choke this. I'm going to take this in. It's hard. It's not easy. But by the grace of God, I'm going to take your word. I'm going to believe your word as if my whole life depends on it. The Bible says if you do that, you will produce this 100-fold, 30, 60. It's supernatural. For example, just us receiving the gospel. How many of you know what happened to your life? The change that took place is something you cannot do on your own. When I heard the gospel and surrendered my life to Jesus and received him as my Lord and Savior, that word, that gospel, that good news changed my life forever. There's no way I can change my life. Only God can do it. Up until now, may mga batchmate ako sa high school, pag nakikita nila ako, pastor ka na? God! Kalokohan. They know me. We're together. We've done things together. Even today, when they look, grabe pare. Di sila makapaniwala. Ako din, di ako makapaniwala. There are still days when I will pray to God in the morning and say, Lord, wow. Wow. Who I am today. What I have today. Where I am today. It's all just by the grace of God. It's all just by the grace of God. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. God wants you to bear much fruit. Whoever you are, wherever God placed you, as a housewife, as a student, as a call center agent, as an engineer, a doctor, lawyer, whatever you do in life, God wants you to bear much fruit. 100-fold, 60, 30. God wants to do something supernatural in and through your life. All God is asking is to keep a good heart. Humble ourselves before God and receive it by faith. I don't know how, Lord, but I'm going to dive in. I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm trusting you are there to catch me. You are there to hold me. You know, As I end, I want to call the music team to come up here on stage. One of our most faithful volunteers here, Sister Emmy, sent a text message to us. Not yet. Picture of Tita Emmy. Do you have a picture of Tita Emmy? Oh. One of our most faithful volunteers sent us a text and say his son will be taken to the heart of the hospital for this critical condition of the heart. They don't know if he will undergo this operation. They don't know how bad it was. So we prayed. Then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we received this message from her. He said, "Praise God, praise God, praise God. The blockage in my son's heart, diagnosed through nuclear stress test last April, was found clear. Walang barayong arteries niya. Arthritis, sorry. Walang barayong arteries niya. Pinakita ni Doc negative ng angiogram niya. Napakalinis. Nilinis ng Diyos. Truly, God is so good. Lalabas na po kami dito sa Heart Center tomorrow morning. Maraming salamat po sa inyong mga panalangin. How many of you know? I'm not praying that will happen to you, but if that's you and you heard that good news, how many of you know you're going to rejoice? How many of you know that's good news? Your heart is changed. Your heart is cleansed. Your heart, you're given a new life, a new chance to live. Good news. And maybe some of you are here today and that's your prayer. Lord, can you give me a new heart? Can you give me a heart that is good? Not full of thorns, not hard, not shallow. Or maybe you're here today and this is the first time you've been to church. You've been far away from God. You know you are not in the right standing with God. And you're praying to God, Lord, is there still a chance for me to start all over again? The answer is yes. In fact, that is God's desire for you, to give you a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And here's God and saying, "And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh." How many of you here, you want to receive this promise from God today? That's your prayer. Lord, give me a heart that responds to you. Give me a heart that trusts you. Give me a heart that believes you. Give me a heart that is surrendered to you. Whatever happens, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.